Okay, I know this morning y'all are looking at the outline on the back of the bulletin, and it says, "I am the resurrection and the life." We're gonna study that next week. I don't always know when these things are going to change, but I know most of y'all know Delaney left to go to camp today. And Dana went to take her down there. And Delaney's been going to camp down at Jackson's Gap at Camp Aska for, I don't know, probably about 10 years now. And when she comes back, she'll be talking about going next year. But we joke around, Dana and I, it is a little bit of a break, you know, from her. But those of y'all that know her, you know the blessing that she is. And you know, you don't get what I was talking with somebody the other day, and we were talking about how kids act, and I said something about it. I said, "Yeah, but you don't always expect them to continue acting that way when they're 26 years old." but Delaney is that way, but I want to let you know it hadn't always. This morning, this is a sermon I actually wrote a couple of years ago, and it's a little bit of my testimony, and I'm gonna try to get through it, but. It talks a lot about, I want to tell you a lot about me and Dana and with Delaney and how it was the first year. We're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 3 this morning instead of John. Let me go ahead and get that done so we can look at that. But I think a lot of us, and I think a lot of us have these issues, but I used to have them more than some. Where when we have problems, things come up in our life, we tend to blame people for them, don't we? We get caught up in the blame game, where we're blaming whatever for these issues that are going on in our life, and we don't recognize them for what they are, that they're gifts from God, and how God is trying to teach us, and how He's trying to lead us to do His work, and I just want to ask you this morning, do you have a problem with blame? I mean, because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I do sometimes. I used to have it real bad, but I'm still a recovering blame guy. So, you know, I'm still trying to get better than that. I don't have as much of an issue with it as I used to. Praise God. Because He's done a work on me and He's continuing to do a work on me, and He'll continue to do that work till I get to be with Him. And it's the same for you too. But I think a lot of us have a problem with blame, and we play the blame game. And I'm going to tell you, we play the blame game when instead of accepting responsibility for things or just simply realizing that there's no one to blame, I think when we do play the blame game, we miss things. And we miss the things that God's blessing us with. And I'm going to share with you this morning a miracle that happened in my life that I almost missed because I was so busy blaming. Because we do that. And because at the time, it was a tragedy. I was younger, and it was tough. Happened 26 years ago. Right after a month after Delaney was born. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. But first, I want to read out of our text. We're going to read out of Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. So let's stand as we read the Word of God. And starting in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, "You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you? Commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." This is God's word. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for life. Thank you for this word. Father, may we learn from it today. May we learn not to blame everything for everything. God, show us what you would have to teach us this morning. For it's these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what we see here when we're talking about blame, you know, because we're pretty good as humans, we're pretty good blame shifters, right? We can shift the blame off on something else or somebody else or anything else whenever something comes up. And we see that we actually come to it by our nature, because it happened from the beginning, right? Adam was a blamer. He turned around, we just read here in this scripture, he ate of this fruit that God told him not to eat, and he blamed his wife. Well, then what does his wife do? Well, she blames the serpent. You know, so we come from a long line of blamers, but that's why we struggle with it so much. And we do that a lot now, right? Don't we? We blame fast food restaurants for making us fat. We blame tobacco companies for giving us cancer. We blame the church for our lack of spiritual growth. We blame a lot of things for a lot of things. But I think there's three areas of blame in our lives that most of us experience. And now we don't always do them in a certain order. But I'm going to share with you this morning a trial in my life where that was actually I'm going to share with you a trial in my life that was actually one of God's miracles. And I almost missed it because one, I blamed myself. Two, I blamed others. And three, I blamed God. So let me go ahead and tell you a little bit about this. I started working for the state troopers in 1997, and they immediately assigned me to Macon County. And so me and Dana moved to Macon County. That's Tuskegee, in case you didn't know where that's at. And we were there, but I knew we were eventually going to get back home to Autauga County. So we went ahead and started building a house at the same time that we were living in Macon County. And then we got the good news about Dana being pregnant with Delaney. And on June the 22nd, 1999, Delaney was born. And we were still living in Tuskegee at this time. And she had an extended stay in the hospital because something was wrong. We just didn't know what was wrong. Delaney was a real floppy baby. Y'all know how much she likes to eat, right? Well, at the time when she was a little bitty baby, she was failed to thrive. We had to force feed her. And she ended up staying in the hospital a few days, and she had real low muscle tone. She wanted to sleep all the time. Like I said, she was just a real floppy baby. We had to set an alarm to wake up at night because she would sleep all night the first night we brought her home. And we had to set an alarm at night to feed her. Actually, there was one night we woke up late. And, you know, we were new parents. You know, we didn't know no better. I woke up and I freaked out. I was like, "Oh, my goodness, Dana, we're 2 hours late." And I woke her up. And she's okay. She was okay. She didn't starve to death for being 2 hours late. But But anyway, we're at home, and after a month of this, she got better and was able to feed herself. We didn't have to force feed her, and she got a little better. Well, I don't know how you do things, but where we're from, when your baby's a month old, you take them to get their pictures made at a professional portrait studio. Y'all remember when you used to make an appointment at Olin Mills? Some of you young people don't know nothing about that. But we made an appointment to go to Olin Mills when Delaney was a month old, and Dana was going to take her to Montgomery and get her pictures made. I was at work that day. I was actually on the other side of the county and working. When all of a sudden I got a call on the radio that said, and they called me, and they kept calling me. Back then we didn't have walkie-talkies. You just had a speaker on your car. And I heard them calling me, and finally I told the driver I was with, just wait a minute, let me go see what they want me for. And I answered the call on the radio, and they said, you need to get to your house. Your wife's been in a wreck. So I made that 45-minute drive probably in about 20 minutes. You know, going to my house. At the same time, there was another trooper that heard it on the radio. His name was David Love. Let me tell you what happened. Some of you probably already know this, but Dana had, she was getting ready to take Delaney to Montgomery. And for whatever reason, the air conditioner wasn't working in her car. And so she decided to take my truck. So she left Delaney closed up in the car, went to go crank up the truck so that she could turn the air conditioner on. Really don't know what happened. I surmise what happened is that she got halfway in, halfway out of the truck, but my truck's a stick shift. She may have pushed in the clutch, turned it on, popped the clutch. But anyway, her foot got hung in the truck, and it drug her across the yard. We had a set of concrete steps to the house we lived in, and it drug her across the steps and run over her. And then the truck continued on across the yard and hit a propane tank out in the yard, and that's where it stopped. So Delaney's in the car, and it's July. We've been talking about already this morning how hot it's been. You know how hot it is here in Alabama in July. And Delaney was in the car, and my wife was laying in the yard. We do know she was unconscious for a minute. But This is how God works. So Dana came to. Y'all remember, some of y'all don't remember, but remember before we had these little cell phones, we had bag phones. We had a bag phone in the car. Dana came to, drug herself across the yard, opened the back door to the car. We don't know how long she was unconscious. Opened the back door to the car so that Delaney could get some air, and opened the front door and reached inside, got the bag phone, and called for help. That's how I got the call from across the county. And this other trooper, David Love, will be my best friend forever. He got there before me, and he took Delaney out and took her in the house of the car, and she was hot. So Dana must have been unconscious for a little while. I'm going to stop right there. Because I think the first thing we do is we blame ourselves when we have issues come up. We have issues come up and we blame ourselves. You know, I was new on the job. I had to work. I would blame myself. I said, why in the world would I take my wife and down here to this other part of the state that I don't know nothing about? You know, what if I kept telling myself, what if I'd just been a little closer to home? Instead of all the way on the other side of the county. And I tell, you know, I had a dirty job. Because I'm going to tell you, at this time, this was 26 years ago, y'all. I wasn't walking with the Lord. We were not going to church. And I just used to say I had a dirty job. That's why I turned my back on God. Isaiah 6:5 says this. It says, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, when we blame ourselves, we judge ourselves. And that's not what God wants us to do. The Lord should be our judge, right? So we should not judge ourselves. Now look, I'm going to tell you, taking responsibility isn't always bad, but sometimes it's not always your fault. You don't have to take so much responsibility sometimes. Sure, the choices that we make get us to a certain point, but things happen. You guys just need to know that. You know? At this time, I wasn't there. I thought, just like Paul writes in Romans 2, it says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But it's the judgment of God that we should be looking for. Blaming ourselves isn't always a bad thing, but there's a lot of time we're at fault, but there's a lot of time that there's other circumstances. The choices we make, they get us in the situations that we're in sometimes. But sometimes we beat ourselves up for things that we have no control over. You know, what if I'd have been working closer to the house? That just means I'd have got there quicker. That's all it meant. But God put one of my brothers close by, you know? We're just not always in control. Well, what happened? The ambulance came and got Dana. At that time, Dana's mom and dad, Dana's mother was still with us. She had not gone to heaven yet. But Dana's dad, they came down and they would keep Delaney. I had not been working for the department that long. I didn't have any leave. You know, I'd only been working for the department a couple of years. And I'd just taken some time off because we just had a baby. And so Dana went to the hospital. They checked her out. She had a broken pelvis. It was broken in a couple of places. They had to put a... Well, they didn't know what to do. At that time, the doctor said, hey, she'll just be flat of her back for 6 months. There's nothing else you can do. And I'm like, so she'll be in the hospital for 6 months on her back. And that's all we can do. So, you know, we had just had a baby, took time off for that. Didn't know what was wrong with Delaney. So for about 3 or 4 weeks, that's where we were. I'd go to work. I'd go into the hospital to see her. Delaney was staying with my mother and father in Prattville. And then she would stay with Dana's mom and dad sometimes. And that was just the way it was for several weeks. I'll tell you, I was broken. I used to call this the worst summer of my life. It was terrible. But then God sends a servant to me. I'm riding around one day on patrol, and that bag phone goes off, and it's a pastor out of Prattville, Henry Smith. He was the pastor of First Presbyterian Church, and he called me because we had went there a couple of times. And he called me and says, Jay, I just found out your wife is in a wreck. Why hadn't you called me? I said, well, we hadn't been there in a year, so I didn't know what to do. He says, brother, you need to know I consider myself your pastor. You got to let me know these things. Man, I was driving. I pulled off on a little dirt road because I didn't want nobody to see a trooper crying. But he called me and comforted me. It was just something else. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. You know, sometimes when we blame ourselves, we just need another brother, another sister to come and build us up. Church, that's why we're a church. Do you understand that? Because we all need encouragement from time to time, don't we? Don't we all blame ourselves a lot for things? And we need somebody to say, hey, God's got this. Hang in there. Stick it out. Because the Lord's going to take care of you. And we've got to do that. We've got to take care of each other. Y'all, look, y'all, we're family. We just got to take care of each other. We got to recognize that when that happens. So going through all that, I blame myself. We just continue. So Dana continued on her injuries. She was at Jackson Hospital. We had, you know, I don't know how, I've seen a lot of orthopedic surgeons in my time, and some of them have some real bad bedside manner. They just tell you that, well, you just got to suck it up, you know. And you know, my wife didn't need to hear that there, and I also didn't need to hear it from that orthopedist. He's lucky I didn't punch him there in the hospital a couple times when he was talking to my wife. But remember, he just said there's six. She's going to be on her back 6 months. We didn't know anything. Still don't know what's wrong, Delaney. Like I said, she was being kept by both my parents and Dana's parents. And so that's when we have a tendency, then we move on from blaming ourselves to blaming others. And that's what I did. I tell you, the Bible's full of examples of people blaming others. We've read before out of Numbers in here about how the children of Israel blamed Moses for bringing them to the desert. Why'd you bring us to this place? We don't even have anything. We read that. Why have you made us come up out of Egypt? It's what it says in Numbers 20, verse 5. Why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. The disciples, remember, they blame the family. They asked Jesus in John chapter 9. They saw a blind man who was blind from birth, and the disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And what did Jesus say? It was neither. He was born this way in order that God may be glorified. Well, I blame the doctors. Dana's and Delaney's. I was after all of them. I was blaming every doctor at Jackson Hospital, the ambulance driver for driving so slow, getting her to the hospital. And I was blaming all the doctors at Children's Hospital because they didn't know what was wrong with my daughter. But who's to blame? John 9:3, Jesus said this, just like we just got through saying, neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So about 4 weeks after Dana had been in the hospital, we started calling around to doctors, and we found a doctor at UAB. His name was Dr. Jorge Alonso. He was a Cuban doctor who specializes in orthopedic trauma of the pelvis. How about that? That's exactly what we need. Do you think God won't reveal the answer to you if you continue to pray for him? Look, let me tell you, I wasn't praying, because I sure wasn't walking with the Lord at this time. So this Dr. Alonzo, I receive a call from him one day, and he says, is this Jay Penton? Are you Dana Penton's husband? I said, yes, sir. He says, look, we know how to take care of your wife. I know you got told that she was going to be on her back for 6 months, but I believe we can do surgery on her, and I can have her up walking next week. I said, what do you need? He says, I need a copy of the x-rays. Could you overnight them up here? I said, oh, no, I'm going to go to Jackson Hospital and get them right now. I'll bring them up there today. He says, you ain't got to do that. I said, oh, no, I'm driving in a trooper car. I'll be up there in just a little bit. I didn't even ask for permission. I was like, I'm just going to eat it. So I go up there and I meet this surgeon, and he does this. He picks up the x-rays, holds them up like this. He says, you see this break and see this break right here? And I said, yes, sir. He says, well, I'm going to put a screw in here. It's going to go all the way across, and I'm going to put two plates right here. And then after we get done with that surgery, we're going to make her stand up out of the bed. And I was like, okay, well, when are we doing? He says, I'm going to have an ambulance bring her up here tomorrow. We're going to do the surgery the next day. So that's what happened. He come back to the room after he got through, and he says, okay, Mr. Penton, this is what we did. I put that pen in just like I told you. I put in those plates like I told you. We shook everything around and made sure nothing moved, and then I sewed her up. Said, as soon as we get a couple of units of blood in her, we're going to have her up walking. We're going to have her standing up by the bed. Let me tell y'all, 4 hours later, my wife was standing up by the bed. So she had a recovery period of about 2 to 3 months. She stayed at my parents' home. I was still working in Macon County. And like I said, didn't have no leave. But the department, they allowed me to drive my vehicle, my patrol car, back and forth to Autauga County. And then one day I get a call from the chief of highway patrol. He says, Jay, we've just decided we're going to go on and move you to Autauga. I said, when? He says, you can just go ahead and start working up there tomorrow. So that happened like a week after her surgery. In the meantime, they're still conducting tests on Delaney, and Dana keeps getting better. Within 2 to 3 months, she was up walking on crutches. She went from laying on her back to walking on a walker to walking on crutches in about 2 to 3 months. And anyway, the insurance wouldn't cover any type of treatment on Delaney until we had a diagnosis. And so we started taking her back and forth to Children's Hospital. They had to do a lot of tests. And finally, at the end, the diagnosis was Prader-Willi syndrome. She has a genetic disorder called Prader-Willi syndrome, which causes it's a learning delay, and it causes her to have low muscle tone, and that's why she is the way she is today. But I'm going to tell you this: this is not my best moment. So the day we went and received the diagnosis, we were on our way back. It was me and Dana, and Delaney's in the back seat in the baby seat, and Dana just looks at her, and she looks at me, and I can just feel her looking at me while I'm driving down the road on 65 going back to Prattville. And she says, well, at least God put her with us to love, and we'll be able to take care of her. And you know what I did? And I told you, I was farthest away from God I've ever been. I looked at my wife, and I said, I don't know what God's got to do with any of this. So that brings us to our last point. We blame ourselves, we blame others, and then we blame God. In Genesis 3:12, the man replied, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." He's blaming God. That's what he just did. That's what Adam just did. He blamed God for his disobedience. It says this in Proverbs 19:3, "A person's own foolishness leads him astray, yet his heart rages against the Lord." And I'll tell you, at that time, my heart was raging against the Lord. But let me tell you this, God is not afraid of your rage. He is not afraid of your questions. He is a God who created all things. He is a God of power. He is a God who has saving grace even when you talk back to Him. Dana told me, she said, she still believed God cared for us, and that's why He gave us Delaney. And I just didn't say nothing. But she cried. So, when we got home, I had time to think about what I said. And Delaney was on a blanket laying in the floor, just laying there. And then she looks at me and smiles. And I go and I tell my wife, I'm sorry. So let me tell you what happened then after that. This is another reason how great God is. with a diagnosis, now we could, the insurance would pay for treatment for. And what happened after that was they were able to come up with a plan, because like I said, she had such low muscle tone, she couldn't even, my baby couldn't even hold up her head. You know, she didn't, couldn't crawl. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and tell you, she didn't start walking until she was two, because, you know, that low muscle tone. Well, we could stand her up and then back away and she'd stand there, but she, that was it. And she couldn't squat down or nothing. It was like everything was locked out. But if we left her there too long, she'd fall down. But let me tell you this, at 6 months old, that she was prescribed with some physical therapy. They called it Head Start. And they do it for infants and stuff. And it was in Prattville. Another good friend, someone that came a really good close friend to us, her name's Janine Kirk. She was the physical therapist. And Dana took Delaney to, by this time, Dana was actually walking without crutches by then. You know, in 6 months, she was supposed to be on her back. She was supposed to be on her back for 6 months. And anyway, so Dana, she takes Delaney to this physical therapy appointment. And I came by because I was working. I took my break there and went in. And Janine and Dana got down in the floor with Delaney, because Delaney, all Delaney would do when she was laying on her belly was she'd just keep her face straight down in the carpet like that. And Janine says, "Come on down here, Dad. Get in the floor with us." And so I get down there next to her in my trooper uniform. And Janine rolls Delaney's arms up under her and she says, "Okay, Delaney, look up here at Mom and Daddy." And Delaney looks, she raises her head and looks up. She looks at Janine, then she looks at Dana, and then she looks at me. And I just cried. But here's the thing. Because of all the blame, because of all the finger pointing, I almost missed the blessing that God had given me. I didn't know that 6 years later He was going to work in my life. To one that where He would bring me to a church and I would recommit my life to Him. I didn't know that He was going to make me a deacon in a church. I didn't know He was going to call me to ministry. I almost just got so fed up and just messed up that I almost missed this miracle of God saving the life of my wife, this miracle of God of giving my wife strength to crawl across the yard at with a broken pelvis to save our daughter. Because you know what would have happened if God hadn't have intervened there? I'd have come back home at about 5 o'clock that afternoon, found my wife laying in the yard dead, and I'd have found my daughter overheated in the car. That's what would have happened. But I almost missed it. I almost missed this miracle of God giving my wife that strength. I almost missed the miracle of God sending a servant, even if just by a phone call, to encourage me. I almost missed the miracle of God sending the doctor that was needed to heal, to take care of my wife and get her better. It was God that sent that man to my wife. It was God that guided His hands to make her better. And I almost missed the miracle of God giving us a family that helps you during times of need. My wife's parents, my parents, all were right there to help us out. And I almost missed the miracle of Him placing a strong hand underneath the chin of my daughter and lifting it up so I could look at her. So let me ask you this morning, folks, who are you blaming? Who are you blaming? Who are you putting up in front of you and saying it's their fault? That's why I'm not doing the things I should do. Because of them. Are you still blaming others for your situations? Are you still blaming yourself for the things that's happened in your life? Are you still pointing at God and saying, "I'm not coming to that church"? No, sir, not me. Who are you blaming this morning? Because I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to bring your blames to the altar and give them up to Jesus. You need to walk this aisle. If you're still blaming, you need to give that up right now. Let me tell you, I've decided this is sin. Because sin is anything that's in between me and the Lord. Okay? That's what sin is. Anything you place between you and God, that is sin. And if that's what's keeping you from doing the things that you need to do, doing the things that God's calling you to do, then you need to give that up to Jesus today. We need to trust Him that He knows what's best. We need to recognize that when we're going through these rough spots, that it's all part of His plan. I mean, do you believe God's in control of everything? Yeah. If you do, you got to know that that's why He's doing this right now. And you got to trust Him to handle this, whatever this is. So I challenge you, church, this morning. Come put your blames at the altar. If you don't know Jesus, I challenge you this morning to come and repent of your sin and surrender your life to Him. Let's sing.